these readings are just so packed. And the event of Peter and Paul is so significant. You know, you don't want to know what I want to say because it would take me 2 hours to talk about it. It's so deep and incisive. But what I do want to say, though, about this feast is, you know, and especially these readings, is that both Peter and Paul are so clearly called by the Holy Spirit and enjoy the protection of the Holy Spirit. The all kinds of things, just extraordinary things, happen to them in this call and in the charism they've been given. Two very different personalities. The interesting thing about them is, of course, this incident with Peter, where he's literally released from prison. I always had students say to me, well, how come God liberated him from prison when he was there with the Jews? And then he didn't liberate him from prison when he caught by Nero and gets crucified upside down in 64. And I just, my response is simply, well, you know, 53, 63, 31 years difference, you know, and of course, 30 years difference. It wasn't Peter's time, according to God, and then it was. The same question could be asked, why did God liberate Paul from prison? I mean, Paul sticks around so that the guard won't commit suicide. That was nice of him to do. But the point, and brings in the whole guard, right, you know, as well, when he does that. But, I mean, obviously, Paul could have gotten away, and it was evident to the guard, and yet it wasn't Paul's time until, you know, very, you know, shortly after the time of the death of Peter, the crucifixion of Peter. Why did he call these two people? You know, I mean, obviously he calls them with such an extraordinary protection and charism and gift of the Spirit. You know, some theologians try to, you know, to exegetes try to minimize the miraculous nature of Peter's, departure. I don't. I mean, I don't think anybody enjoyed more animosity in their apostolate in Jerusalem than Peter, except for Jesus. I mean, Stephen, of course, who suffered the ultimate penalty. But the key thing, of course, is that the animosity was over the top. I don't find this an incredible thing at all. I think God really did have to look out after him and St. Paul in similar ways to keep their apostolate going until the time of Nero in Rome. The fact, of course, is, you know, as I see it anyway, is that they're two people who are supposed to do exactly what they're supposed to do. Paul is got to be the minister, the head apostle to the Gentiles. He just has to be. He's got the eloquence. He's got the writing style. He's got the Greek. He's got the Greek logic and the Greek rhetoric. He's got the Roman credentials. Paul's the guy. You want somebody to do the Gentile work, he is so designated to do it. Then you look at Peter and you go, this is a really more difficult one to figure out. Why would you make him head of the overall church? Remember, Peter is not the head of the Jerusalem church. That's James. The head of the Jerusalem church is James. Peter is the head of James and Paul. And that becomes very clear in the Acts of the Apostles and at the Council of Jerusalem in Acts 15. It's not James who stands up to deliver the universal church proclamation about what the Gentiles are to do or not to do. It's not James who claims that he has divine authority to make this decision for the universal church on his own. It's not Paul. Paul doesn't even make a speech at the Council of Jerusalem. He just delivers news on what's happening in the Gentile churches. It's Peter. Then after Peter Then James talks to the Jerusalem church. Then Paul gives his message about the Gentile churches. Peter's the guy in charge. Why pick him? After all, Paul is a little more eloquent. Well, he's theoretically smarter. Let's face facts. He's also got an education that Peter couldn't hope to get. Why put Peter on top of Paul? I think it has to do with three reasons that the wonderful inspiration of Jesus intuited from the beginning. Number one, Peter is loyal to the hilt. Number two, he's got the heart of a child. This is a guy who is never going to take himself too seriously. He's going to be waiting on God to tell him what to do. And he will repent at the drop of a hat. He's absolutely certain of Christ's love. This is the one that Jesus wants. He wants the guy who's got the freedom of the heart. He wants the guy who's got the heart of a child. He's got the guy, he wants the guy who's literally waiting. He doesn't trust his own judgment enough. I want to hear from God himself, which is what happens to Peter again and again. He gets these dreams, and the dreams are leading him. He knows they come from God. And of course, Jesus knows Peter through and through, and Peter has met Jesus. That's the third reason. Peter knew Jesus inside and out from the heart living with him, the incarnate Lord. Paul has only seen Jesus as the risen Lord, spoken with Jesus as the risen Lord, not the incarnate Lord, not those intimate encounters, not that knowledge of the heart that Peter has. And so Peter is the one who is chosen. And of course, we know that between Peter and Paul, and of course, James and the Jerusalem church until it falls in 70 AD, these guys are like lightning. I mean, they are moving forward and they are not looking back. And Peter, of course, not only makes himself available to the Jerusalem church, he's all over the Gentile world too. And of course, he has to wind up in Rome. Of course, he has to make his see there, which is the center of the empire. I mean, the audacity of it, the fisherman, after all, without the education, sitting on the Sea of Rome with Paul, the great eloquent one, literally at his feet, and James, of course, serving him in Jerusalem until its fall, which is after, by the way, that's after the death of Peter and Paul in 64. So for all intents and purposes, I mean, this is why God has picked them. This is what God has done for them, inspiring them, keeping them safe, protecting them. The miracles, I mean, I think is all part of the plan. It's all part of the plan that takes these two guys who have a heart of gold and a heart of zeal and a heart that will not be quenched to go out and do and share and evangelize the word of Jesus Christ. What a great feast. Just love it. Amen.